body. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We are currently still in the Thanksgiving season, but anybody today know that every day is a day of Thanksgiving, because God's doing something for us every day. So every day we owe God a great big thank you, because He keeps on doing wonderful things in our lives, and He does it over and over and over and over. And His mercies are renewed morning by morning, day by day. He gives us brand new mercies. So every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. We do thank the Lord for this opportunity, for being here today. Thank God for even the opportunity that we might worship Him. And so we don't come before His presence arrogantly. We don't come into His presence like we are great or grand, but we come and we humble ourselves and we bow in His presence, because He is the great King above all other kings. He is the great God above all other gods, and it's a privilege and it's an honor to worship Him. We want to take this time to welcome you to our service this morning, the Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church. We're here at 867 East Walnut Street in the city of Evansville, Indiana. And we are thankful to God for our pastor, Pastor Larry Rasko Sr. And we're thankful to God for each of you for tuning in this morning. So we ask that you share, that you call somebody, tell somebody we're live, and share, click like and click the share button, and call somebody and text somebody, and wake your spouse up, and wake your children up, and everybody tell them that we are alive and we are on the air and we are here to give God the best praise we got today. Amen.
Amen.
To God be the glory for all the things He has done. So we're going to start with this song that says, God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever be tied, because God will take care of you. Just take care of you, but he'll take good care of you. He's a loving father, and he knows how to take care of his children. And so we give God thanks today. Thank him for caring for us. Thankful people here today. Give thanks. Hallelujah. Come on, let's say with one voice.
Give thanks.
With a grateful heart.
With a
tell the Lord thank you.
Hallelujah.
Come on, help me tell the Lord thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
To God be the glory. His word says that we should give thanks in all things. So help me tell the Lord thank you just for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our scripture reading today is going to come from Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Amen. Let us go into the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you yet again for another day. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for starting us on our way. Thank you for bringing us into the house of the Lord one more time to give your name praise. Thank you for the holiday. Thank you for the times we spent with our loved ones. We do not take anything for granted, Lord, so we give you thanks. Lord, as we prepare ourselves to hear a word from our pastor, we ask that you bless him. We ask that you be in the midst of us. We ask that you remove all distractions so that we may take this word with us throughout the week and carry it in our hearts. Thank you in advance, Lord. Thank you for all things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Riz. Again, to God be the glory for the things he has done. We're going to sing a song, and everybody, you all know it. And the song just says, thank you, Lord. And there's really no right words or wrong words. You can sing whatever you want to sing in this song.
Amen. Y'all, let's thank God for our psalmist and the band. And I always want to say thank you for taking time to be with us today, because it's another day that the Lord has made, and we really ought to rejoice and be glad in it. So excited today. Every now and then, even though technically, officially, we're not open, every now and then we have some folk trickle in. And I want to thank God for somebody, just a dear beloved brother and sister who's trickled in to be with us in our live stream today, all the way from, you still in New Orleans? All right, Reverend and Mrs. Bobby Tenner, and I'll find out who those other two young men are. They look like some grandsons, I guess. All right. But by Reverend Tenner, good to see you. Sis, so good to see you. I tell you, we need to figure out how to make some invisible, some clear masks, so that we can see folks' mouths. But it is good to be here today. I want to thank you, Iresi, for sharing our scripture today. And I'm going to share from that first scripture of Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Another translation says, God is our refuge and mother, he is our strength, always there to provide help. God is a good place to go. He's our refuge and he's our strength. He's a right now help in our time of trouble. I want to put a tag on this text. Y'all, I want to talk about a good place to dock. A good place to dock. Docks are important, extremely important, but docks are often overlooked. They're overlooked mainly because they're usually out of sight. It's the place where bunch of trailers have backed up to, and most folk can't and don't appreciate a dock. Matter of fact, when I think about it, I've been around docks all my life. My first experience with docks was with my granddaddy, Robert McKee, who in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, every now and then he'd go to a feed mill called Southern States, and we'd back up to the dock, and he would get big bags of grain. I had another experience with docks when I worked at Standard Dell Farm. It was a grocery store, 86 and Ditch Road, and though I was primarily a cashier, every now and then I had to go in the back and work by the docks. That's where we put Coke bottles in their cases. Later on, I was in produce, and that's where we would take skids of produce off the truck, because I'm here to tell you, I've been around docks all my life, and docks are, they are they are important. In right after high school, because of Mr. Matthews, many of us were blessed to have jobs at the post office, and as a result, I spent a lot of time backing trucks up to docks, because docks are important. I went away to college, but I didn't get away from docks. I worked for the Tribune Star in the where we delivered newspapers, and it was my job to back my truck up to the dock as they would load the trucks up. Left college, came all the way. I was at left college and even in Terre Haute, worked at UPS, and all day long, I was backing up to somebody's dock. I'm trying to tell you that docks are important. Came to Evansville, Indiana, pastor of the Nazarene Baptist Church, and would you know that still had some docks in my life. Never will forget, there was a beloved brother by the name of Brother Dixon. He was the plant manager of Tyson in down the road in Robards, Kentucky. And every now and then he would call and say, "Pastor, we've got a surplus and we've got chicken real cheap." And you remember, we'd run down there and we were getting so much that they had to send us to the docks. Because I'm trying to tell you that docks are, they really are important. Even though they're out of sight, even though many of you will never see them, you don't really appreciate them until you run out of, until the shelves don't have anything that we need. It's all because some truck, some trailer didn't back up to the dock. And when I read Psalm 46, and this psalmist said, "God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in a time of trouble," I couldn't help but think about this dock. He's a good place to dock. This psalmist, Junior, it's as if he is about to release his project, because in this psalm, he reaches out to some people. Let me tell you who he's trying to reach. When you read this text, before you read the first verse, he's talking about, he says, "Go get the director of music." We would call him the minister of music. Let me show you who he's trying to reach. Then he says, "And get the sons of Korah." Now the term, the word Korah is numerous, but the folk who were swallowed up is not the only people who were named Korah in the Bible. Evidently, these sons of Korah were singers. And there's another individual, the Alamoth. And all I could find out about the Alma is that she must have been a soprano, must have been a soprano section. Let me show you what I see. I need to explain who he's trying to reach. He calls for the choir director. The choir director needs to learn this song because he's got to learn it so that he can give it away. I'll be back to that in a minute. He learns the song in order to teach the song to the choir. Have I got a witness? The music director learns the song so that he can teach it to the choir. The choir learns the song so that they can sing it to the congregation. And the congregation sings the song because when it's a good song, the congregation will take it to the community. Every now and then, it's good to have a real good song. You'll know how good a song is, how good a beat is, when you find yourself humming it as you go through the day. You might be cooking, you might be washing dishes, you might be going about your business, might be going down the street, but you know it's a good hook when you find yourself humming it. That last song they sung, I can see myself right now, and even when you don't know the words, it's still a good song to help you to remember the goodness of God. Listen to who he's trying to reach. Get the choir director. so that they can teach it to the choir. Let the choir sing it to the congregation. And then the congregation lives in the community, and they ought to take this psalm everywhere they go. This is who he's trying to reach. But what is he trying to relay? What is it that he's trying to say in this psalm? When you read this psalm, he says, I'm trying to get folk to understand that God is our, he's our refuge, he's our strength, he's a very present help in the time of trouble. He's our refuge, he's a place of security. Y'all, in times like these, everybody is trying to find a place of security. But let me tell you, you won't find it in politics. You won't find it in the White House. You won't even find it with your place of employment. Y'all remember back in the day, there were some places that never would lay off, but then they got bought out. Not every job. You can't put your faith in a job. You can't put your faith in money. Matter of fact, you can't even put your faith in people, because they'll let you down sometime. But here's the good news. This psalmist says, God is our refuge. He's a place of security. In insecure times, it's good to have a place that is secure. Isn't that why Jesus said, on this solid rock I stand, the rock of God's word, all other ground, it's nothing but sinking sand. But God is our refuge. He's a good place to go. God is our strength, because there's some stuff in life, won't it wear you out? There's some stuff that'll sap your strength. There's some things that will leave you wanting in this life, but you need to know, not only is God our place to go, but he's a place where we can find the strength we need to survive. He's a place that will give us strength so that we can stand. He gives us strength. And over in the Bible, it talks about the fact that everybody's gonna need some strength sometime. Even the young men shall fall, and the youth that will grow weary, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their what? Their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. That strength. They shall run and not get weary, that strength. They shall walk and not faint, because he is the source of our strength. He's a good place to go. But mother, when you get weak, he's also, the psalmist says, he's our strength. He's a very present help. And that's what we need. We need a present help. We need a present help in the time of trouble. Sometimes you can plan all you want and have a good plan, but even your plan can't stop trouble from troubling you. This week, I was watching a video on YouTube of a young lady by the name of Chef Lex. Her name is Chef Lex. She has cooked for a lot of famous people, but when the pandemic hit, everything shut down. But somebody remembered her meal, Junior, and Chef Lex was invited to the bubble. She was invited to the bubble to cook for the NBA players as the season closed. There were some NBA players. Disney was supposed to provide all the meals, but after they got eaten what Disney was providing, they said, we can't go to war on this. And somebody remembered Chef Lex, and they invited her into the bubble. Now listen to what they said. When you come into this bubble, you're going to cook for the team and the staff alone. When you come into this bubble, you can't leave this bubble. When you come into this bubble, you will live at this hotel, you will have to cook at this hotel, and then somebody else will transfer your food. You can't shop because you gotta live in the bubble, but you can make out what you need. You can't talk to the players in person, but you can communicate via social media. They will order what they want, you will buy it, and you will prepare it the next day. She decided in the midst of the pandemic to go ahead and go into the bubble. And she testifies and said, me and my sister, we came into the bubble, and every morning at 4:30 in the morning, we would get up and begin to work, and we would prepare the meals for the players and prepare the meals for the staff. She said it was different cooking in a different place, sleeping in another place, not being able to present my meal to the people who are going to eat it, but they would text back and give me pictures and show me love. She said, I discovered that I'm 20 times stronger as a result of what God has done. Here's what I want to testify. Everything shut down, hey, on one hand, but when she went into the bubble, when she walked by faith, she had some experiences that she's never had before. Everything blew up, and she's living at another level, all because in the midst of trouble, the good God we serve doesn't have to allow trouble to stop you from being blessed, because can't he bless you in the time of trouble? He's a present help. He's a present help in the time of trouble. Who is he trying to reach? He's trying to get it to the church, to the people of God, to the choir, to the congregation, get it to the community. What's the message he's trying to give? Trying to let everybody know that God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's a present help in the time of trouble. And so what are the results? I told you who he was trying to reach. I told you what the message was. But what are the results that he was after? Because God is our refuge and strength, a present help in the time of trouble. Verse 2 says, when you believe verse 1, you can act like it says in verse 2. Verse 2 says, therefore, I will not fear. What he's trying to do is get the people to live in the, to walk by faith and to live knowing that because God is God, because God is our God, because God is a present help, because there's nothing he can't do, we ought to make a choice not to fear. Because here's what's going on. What's going on is that circumstances, stuff is happening all around them. This is a psalm that is written after the children of Israel had celebrated victory when the Assyrians had circled the city and God destroyed their enemy right before their eyes. In this psalm, it celebrates the fact that God had fought for them, that God had made a way for them, that God had provided for them. And they the psalmist is sharing this. You've got to learn how to celebrate even when there's national disasters and natural disasters, stuff going on all around you. And the stuff that's happening around you does not have to stop God from blessing you, from protecting you, for providing for you. And so the question is, will you choose, because he is our refuge and strength, will you choose to not fear? Will you believe that God is a God who works the third shift? In the fifth verse, it says he will show up, he will help us at the break of day. He'll help us at the break of day. I like that poetic language, because what's that really saying? If God is gonna show up at the break of day, Carla, that means that all you got to do is hang on through the night. If you can just hold on through the night, your victory, your deliverance is coming at the break of day. You do know it gets dark sometime before deliverance come. When Jesus was on the cross, didn't it get dark? But then on that Sunday morning, he got up. When did he get up? At the break of day. He got up at dawn when the sisters showed up, and there he revealed himself. But their deliverance came, their revelation came right at the break of day. I'm here to tell you, the result is he's trying to get the people to walk by faith. The fifth verse says that he placed something within us. He placed something within this city. Whenever God takes ownership of something, he always protects that which he takes ownership of. Walter Robinson, you need to know that God is watching, and they're celebrating. They're celebrating what God, they said, come on and see all the marvelous things that God has done. Just the other day, I was Zooming with some of the family, and people were testifying about the marvelous things that God was doing in the midst of the pandemic. In the midst of the pandemic, one of our daughters wrote and published a book. In the midst of pandemic, people were selling and buying houses. In the midst of the pandemic, people were starting businesses. In the midst of the pandemic, people were having record sales that they had never had before. In the midst of the pandemic, somebody's getting a check every week because of the job that God had provided. They were testifying, come see, come hear all the wonderful things that God has done. And God didn't have to remove the trouble in the country. He didn't have to remove the trouble in the white. He didn't have to move the trouble in order to make the blessings flow. Because God, he works the third shift. Sometimes the blessing will come at the break of day. Two things helped assure me that this is a psalm worthy of putting into practice. The psalmist says, God is with us. He said that several times. God is with us. Verse 7, he said, God is with us. He's in the holy city. Verse 4, he's in the holy temple. That helped me. Because I have the benefit of the New Testament, I know that God doesn't dwell in the physical building, but he has made you and I, those who believe and trust his Son, the temple of the Holy Ghost. You ought to be able to live this psalm because the text says God is in that holy place. He dwells in holy people. He dwells, but then it also says, this messed me up. It said, but he's the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is with us, verse 7. The God of Jacob is with us, verse 11. Why didn't he say he's the God of Israel? Because didn't Jacob's name get changed to Israel? But it helps us because when you know that he's the God of Jacob the trickster, Jacob the liar, Jacob the thief, Jacob, the manipulator, he's the God of Jacob. And if that don't make you shout, you'd have missed your shout cue. Because if he is the God of Jacob, that means doesn't matter what you've done. If you're the God of Jacob, you may have been crooked, but God can straighten you out. He's the God of Jacob. Aren't you glad that he's the God of Jacob? Meaning that if you've come short, you need to remember he's the God of Jacob. If you did what you said, you wasn't going to do no more. You need to remember, he's the God of Jacob. He's the God of a second chance. He's the God of Jacob, and he's placed something within us. He dwells with us, and he's placed his spirit in us. I close with this. We have a new member of our family. I celebrate our new addition. I celebrate our new addition for several reasons. One reason is it's a return on investment, because one of the joys of investing in the lives of your children is that every now and then, God will let your children go places you've never been. God will let your children see some things you've never seen. God will let your children do some things you've never done. But the joy of parenting is that every now and then your children who've gone places you haven't gone, seen some things you haven't seen, done some things you haven't done, they'll want you to experience some of the things that God has allowed them to experience. My wife was staying with Simone as welcoming the new baby in, and while she was there for over a month, she noticed a member of their family. It was an iRobot. It was a Roomba robot, and she watched how at a given time, the little robot would come out of its station and go all over the house and sweep, and when it was done, it would go back to the station, and after being there a month, Trudy said, I need to get me one of them. And so the children got together, and another friend got together and said, well, if that's what you want, we gonna get it. And Trudy ordered a bigger one, because we got a little more space than they had, and Trudy was waiting on the day. And then when he showed up, Trudy took him out of the package, and they always said you ought to give him a name, and Trudy named him Obadiah. And so we've got little Obadiah. He's a robot vacuum cleaner. He's stationed in the living room, and when she first put him to work, after she programmed him, he went around the room for about 5-7 minutes, and then he went back to the station. And I said to myself, I said, see there, five minutes, and he's ready to quit. And Trudy said, no, the instruction says that the first time he's not fully charged, so he may not do a whole lot, but if you hang on in there, when he gets a little more power, he'll be able to do a little more. But I teased her. I said, that robot gonna quit before the week's out. He ain't seen all of this space. And she said, no, you leave Obadiah alone. Matter of fact, I even took a little pencil and put a flag on it and taped it to Obadiah as he was saying surrender. And she said, she snatched it off. She said, you leave Obadiah alone. He knows what he's doing. Yet the other day, I was downstairs, and up above my head, I heard a sound I wasn't used to. And I figured it out. It was Obadiah. It was Obadiah, and I said, well, this ain't gonna last about 5 minutes. But I was listening, and Obadiah kept on running. He kept on running. But here's what I learned about Obadiah. Something within Obadiah, the people who made Obadiah understood that Obadiah can't run forever. Obadiah realizes that he can't run. He can't run forever. And here's what I love about whoever engineered it, he knew that sooner or later he's going to have to get back to the dock. And it doesn't matter how far he goes. His assignment is to sweep everything. His assignment is to go everywhere. The trouble, the trial, is that it's not always in a straight line. He bumps into stuff, but it doesn't destroy him, because he's never out of control. He knows how to back up. He knows how to turn around. He knows how to go around stuff. Have I got a witness here? And I'm learning something from Obadiah. Sometimes you can't go straight. Sometimes you're gonna have to go around some stuff. But whatever you do, know that sooner or later, you're gonna have to get back to the dock. Always save enough strength to get back to the dock. And when Obadiah gets back to the dock, I heard something that I hadn't heard before. When he gets back to the dock, the first thing he does, he gets rid of all the garbage that he collected. When you show up at the the dock is a place where you release or receive. Have I got a witness here? Every time you go to the dock, it's a place to release something or it's a place to get something. Obadiah got back to the dock and he released the garbage, he released the lint, he released all the trouble that he had received as he went through the house. But watch this, I thought, it's over now. He's not gonna be ready to go back to the next day because you've gotta recharge. When you return, then you have to release and then get ready. But because he'd been charged up, he didn't stay long. He was right back at it again. All day, back and forth, back and forth, all around, doing his job because he had power. I'm trying to tell somebody up in here, Obadiah is a great illustration to show us as children of God, when you're going through what you're going through, every now and then, you need to return and duck up to the word of God, duck up and get power, duck up and give him glory. In this psalm, every now and then you see this word, Selah. Now, a lot of people don't know what that means, but it's a musical term for singers. What it means is, it's a time to rest. There's a few lines that go along. Let me read it for you. Let me do it like this. And then it says, Psalm 46, watch this. I'll do one for you. God is our refuge, our strength, ever-present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. And then when you keep reading, it'll say, Selah. The NIV version doesn't include it, but over and over in the King James Version, it has Selah. It's a rest. Let me finish it. When you read what God has done, when you read what he's provided, it has then says Selah, which means, remember, this is a song. It means it gives the singer a time to rest. Because once you sing about the goodness of God and the praise of God, you need to rest and let the music play on. Well, wait a minute, I thought it's a song. Yeah, it is a song, but sometimes you can't get through the whole song. Sometimes when you start singing about the goodness of God, there needs to be a time where the singer pauses. The music keeps playing, but the singer pauses. The modern day, they call it a praise break. It means that after you sung a minute, then you let the music play on, because I gotta pause. What are you doing in the midst of the praise break? Somebody's clapping their hands. Somebody's stomping their feet. Somebody's doing their dance, because you know God has been good to you. It's a good place to dock. Every now and then, when you get weary, dock. When you get tired, dock. When you don't know what you gonna do, dock. And when you dock with God, dock with the word, dock in prayer, it'll change what you say. You'll quit saying, I don't know what I'm gonna do. It'll change what you say. You'll start saying, I've been young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. You'll quit saying, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And you'll start saying, as for me and my house, I'm gonna serve the Lord. And you'll start singing a little different song. I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He made a way for you, and he will safely see you through. I know the Lord. He'll make a way. Yes. Yes, he will. Every now and then, you need to get to the dock. When you get to the dock, that 11th verse says, be still. Be still. Dock can be a dangerous place, but it can also be a place of deliverance, place for you to release, a place for you to receive. My beloved brothers, my sisters, today I want to share with you that all of this is provided, this marvelous song is provided, first of all, to the people of God, to people who have a relationship with God. And if you don't, you need to know that today, you have this privilege of being able to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to take him into your heart, because God has expressed his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ, and Christ died for us. Would you? I'm here to tell you, if you're willing to accept Jesus, he's willing to accept you just as you are. You can repeat this prayer and salvation can be yours. Repeat after me. Gracious God, my Father, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I do believe that you raised him from the dead. I open my heart and I ask you to come in, dwell with me, make me the person you would have me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've made that prayer, I welcome you to the family. I invite you to go to our website. Let us know. Let us know that you've connected with us, connected with the kingdom. We would love to connect with you and let you know how you can engage in ministry and be a part of the kingdom and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank God for you. Now, family, it's time for the offering. We want to invite you to share with us, to share as we continue to advance the kingdom. I've been preaching about grace giving for a number of weeks. And again, as we approach not only Thanksgiving, but also Christmas, there are some individuals that we're going to come alongside and be a blessing to. Some of you have already came by and have given a special offering. You've made it to the home mission, and we received that and want to say thank you for that. And we're going to celebrate what God is doing in the life of our church to two families in their time of need. So I welcome you today. You have the opportunity of giving through Givelify, through PayPal. You can even come by the church. There are envelopes there in a package right by the door. And so we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. I'm going to offer this word of prayer of thanks, not only for the offering, but I want to bless you with a benediction as well. Would you please remember our Aunt Yvonne, James' aunt? She's in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Asking that you please remember Aunt Yvonne today. Also ask that you please remember Brother Joe Shelton in the passing of his sister. And then again, please remember Sister Chandra Pope. Her mom passed away, and they've had the celebration, but they're going to be burying her this week. So please remember Chandra and her sister and her entire family in Michigan. Again, we want to thank God for Brother John Bush, and God's continuing to strengthen him. And there are many others. We gave you a list of those who are sick and shut in. And please share the prayer requests. Share the prayer requests. We'll take those and we'll be lifting all of you in prayer. Now, God, our Father, you have been good to us. You continue to provide, and for that we want to say thank you. We pray your blessings upon these, our tithes, even offerings. Pray, dear God, that you would give us wisdom to operate and manage in a way that would advance your kingdom. Thank you for making us sensitive to those who are in need. We pray that you'll come alongside and that those needs will be met. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this psalm that says, you're a great place to go. Our security is found in you, for you're our present help, even in the time of trouble. God, help us to learn the song and help it to change our conversation. Help us to sing the song. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves with the song and then give us the boldness to sing the song that others who don't know you may come to know you. And then, dear God, as we go out cleaning, doing what you would have us to do, where you would have us to do it, please help us to always remember we can't run forever. We need to dock with you sometime. Thank you for the privilege of having a place to go where we can release all the garbage that could have been collected along the way, where we can recharge, and where we can stand ready to go forth again as you send us. We thank you for this day. Pray your blessings, your grace upon our nation, our city, state, our community. Bless these, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.